And it's from the viewpoint of healing as we continue our series on healing and deliverance. So I just want to start with a scripture, Matthew 11:12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So we live in a world at war. There are tensions between different nationalities, ideologies, East and West, capital and labour, and even people living in their own household are at war with each other. And so people are always searching for ways out of confrontation. And it's hard to know when to stand and when to walk away. An army instructor said to a cadet, "Your platoon is almost surrounded. You've lost several men. You are running out of ammunition. As platoon commander, what steps would you take?" And he said, "Long ones, sir." It's a bit lame, but the point is we need to keep and recognise our situation. Communication with the commander so that we know when to take long steps. And it's interesting that movie makers like to make movies where aliens attack us from outer space and attempt to set up their own governments and use humans in all kinds of experiments. And there's an old one that comes to mind called Mars Attack. I don't know if anyone's seen that one. It's bad. And they attack the Americans and they kill a heap of people and they experiment with some. And then they want a peace treaty. And then when they go to sign the peace treaty, they kill a heap more high-ranking officials. And they're all laughing about it with a sinister laugh. And then they repeat the process. Peace treaty, peace treaty. Then they kill everyone who shows up and laugh at how stupid the human government was for trusting them. And finally, the war comes. And just when it seems all is lost, someone figured out playing lame country music would make their heads explode. And the USA won. So the Bible tells us long ago that is what happened. Well, slightly different. And unlike the blockbuster movie, we lost. And I don't think even Adam and Eve playing country music in the Garden of Eden would have saved us. So we lost, and we lost badly. The whole kingdom, our lives, our very souls, and our only hope was an army more powerful than the one that defeated us to rescue us. It turns out that the God of that army that could save us was offside because mankind's king and queen had committed high treason against him and his kingdom of heaven. So man had rebelled, probably thinking he could pull off a better deal with God's arch enemy, and he was deceived out of his kingdom. So the only response any kingdom has to high treason is death to the betrayers. So mankind was stuck between a rock and a hard place. By believing Satan's lie instead of God's truth, man had nothing to bargain with. All appeals to compassion and mercy had been forfeited. So man's predicament was hopeless, and the God of heaven, the one who we betrayed, our only hope, he could have left us with the alien satanic angels we sold out to and let time run its course, rightly so. Or he could have gone to war against us with and them, which probably would have been the obvious reaction. Maybe what Satan was hoping for, I'm not sure. But anyway, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So Romans 5, 6 to 11. For while we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now shall that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So reconciled with God, rescued from our alien captives, all in one daring operation. So God is a God of war. And he didn't use his army for this one. He sent his son as a man, because Jesus is the commanding officer of God's army, God's commander. And he can do what no one else can do. Joshua met the commander of God's army by Jericho. So Joshua 5:13-15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. If Jesus won the victory on the cross in hell, why are we here? Why weren't we taken up when Jesus went up to heaven? So, because obviously, I guess, no one would be here to tell us, and so we wouldn't have believed, and so on. As we know, people who are born as God's enemies turn and believe in him. So we know we're here for a purpose, because God wants more than just us. John 17:20. "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me." So why sickness? If we've been cut off from the cause, why sickness? So we'll just go back to Matthew 11:12. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." So John the Baptist announced the message, the Messiah, and the Messiah came with a kingdom. God's kingdom had come, but John the Baptist still lost his head, because it's a war. God has established his kingdom on earth, and this time he's decided not to annihilate all enemies, but to save some of us. Colossians 1:13. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." So we've been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, but this kingdom suffers violence. So what is the kingdom of heaven on earth made up of? Well, the first thing that comes to mind is us. We suffer violence. I just want to refer to two scriptures. Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Add to that Luke 17:21, "Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." Our citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of God is within you. You are the kingdom. It is both inside you and up above in the heavens. We can lose sight of our purpose and leave ourselves open to attack. Psalm 119:67-68. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." I've heard people say, and I've heard myself say the same thing, "I was going astray from God and I got this sickness or disease or injury and God used that to bring me back." Psalm 107:17-20. "Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." So I can clearly remember two times two different Christians gave testimonies. They were good and memorable testimonies that were very similar. Both had grown up with God. Both had been super successful at a sport. I think one was hockey, one was netball. But both had suffered a permanent career-ending injury. They said they were so successful at the sport that they had no time for God, and one of them had even married an unbeliever during that time who had a different God altogether. Their testimony was, God gave me an injury, they said, to get them back. So obviously they don't mean that God tripped them over on the court while they were playing, stepped on their ankle, twisted it at right angles to their leg, and make sure they would never heal. But what do they mean? I don't think that is what they meant, but I came away with God deliberately injured them to get them back in my head, which I wonder. They do have a better testimony than someone who had a career-ending injury and didn't turn back to God, but does God permanently maim people, his children? What are they saying about the character of God? Many successful sport people are Christians, so you can be successful and be a Christian at the same time and have a great testimony of being a committed Christian and also successful at sport or business or whatever. The two don't have to be mutually exclusive. I've let many things get in between my relationship with God. I didn't have to stray. We Christians get complacent and forget that the war that we are in. We stray so far from our supply line of daily Bible reading, prayer, hearing from God. Our faith slowly fades, we get weak, and the enemy attacks. If we're smart, then we cry out to God to save us again. And if we're really smart, we recognize we're being deceived by Satan and straying away from God. So I know from personal experience and from talking to others, sometimes Christians just get cold towards God and they do nothing to remedy it. You ask people, how are you and God getting on? And they answer, I don't know. And that answer to me says it all, because I've answered people like that myself. We should at that point panic, but we don't, because we've been deceived already. When it comes to sickness, disease and injuries, it's easy to put it on God when it wasn't his work. The early Christians were clear on the enemy, and his activity against them was continuous. For the Apostle Paul, Satan is an ever-present reality, ready to inflict physical suffering whenever able to do so. Although it is understood that Jesus has dealt a fatal blow to Satan's kingdom, the New Testament shows that the war is still as real for us as it was in Jesus' day. Satan is still, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world, Ephesians 2:2, the ruler of the air, Revelations 9:7-11, who heads up the rebel kingdom, 1 John 5:19, and through whom he still controls the whole world, 1 Peter 5:8, he is the adversary who, like a roaring lion, prowls around looking for someone to devour. And we could go on. It becomes very evident that we live between opposite kingdoms of supernatural sickness and supernatural healing. Jesus' statement about himself and Satan, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. God doesn't need Satan's help to bring back the strays. Satan roams like a lion seeking whom he may devour. God relies on his goodness to bring people to repentance. So Romans 2:4 says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? God's kindness leads us to repentance, not his meanness. It's God's goodness. If God's goodness is not touching us, we should pray urgently. God wants us to be strong like John the Baptist. So Matthew 11:7 says, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? The truth is that we are a target. There is no neutral territory. We live in the friction between two kingdoms. John 14 to 16. I have given them your word, And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So we belong to the kingdom of heaven where our king rules, but we live in the world where Satan rules. We have been sent into the world to spread the kingdom. John 17:18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So we tolerate sickness, but we don't tolerate sin. If Satan was to show up and say, your soul is mine, we'd be quick to say, no, it's not. And say, Jesus paid for my sins, and resist him. So Jesus also bore our sickness. We would be indignant at the suggestion that we are not saved. Are we indignant about the other promises that Christ died to purchase? Matthew 8:17. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illness and bore our diseases. We think that sickness, disease, and injury is keeping us close to God, but healing will bring us much closer. And closer is what we want to be. Okay, so just as we come in for the close, I want to reflect. We just remembered Anzac Day and the Great Wars. The Allies won. We remember because of the cost of war, and we should. We remember in the hope of remembering that it won't happen again. Let us remember the cost of Christ's victory. Let us also remember that the war rages on, and it's easy to get disorientated in the battle. Even John the Baptist got confused. So John had announced at the Jordan River, here comes the Lamb of God. So he knew Jesus was the Messiah. And yet later in the prison cell, he began to doubt. Matthew 11:2-3. And when John heard in the prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? So John was smart. He sent to Jesus with the problem, and we should do the same. And so let's read Jesus' response. Matthew 11:4-5. And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Just want to encourage us all so that we don't get cold. Don't mistake Satan's works for God's works. And no matter how bad we mess up and miss it, we don't give up. So war is messy, with battles, injuries, casualties, friendly fire, betrayal, wins and losses. But let's keep at it because God is for us. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but we, the kingdom, fight back. We dig in and we are assured of the victory. Amen.